Well, it's very good to be here this morning. And turn with me to Romans chapter 7 again. Title of the message this morning is The War Within. The War Within. And I think that everyone who has been in this way for any time at all knows something about the war within. From last week, in verse 5, I didn't stop long enough to give some definitions or some Greek words that are used there. Verse 5, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin. The Greek for motions there is pathema. And it means something undergone, a hardship, a pain, or an affection. Something that you suffer. So, and the word is, its meaning is passions. The passions of sin that we suffer, which are by the law, and that means that the law is a invigorator of them by stirring them up by a compulsory hedge about them, by restricting them. They are provoked by an inhibition of its activities, and so they are stirred by our corrupt own corruption, our own natural rebellion, the pollution of our natural heart, and our from our own corruptions, they're stirred up to greater activity. So that, according to 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So the law stirs the rebellious nature of our inward corruption, arouses it, provokes it, and it comes to greater activity and finds its strength by the law. So that by the law, sin becomes exceedingly sinful. Well, he said, then is the law sin? Nay, God forbid, for I had not known sin except by the law, and by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that it's not that the law is evil, but it stirs up my own evil by my rebellious nature, so that sin by the commandment finds its strength. For by the law is the law is the strength of sin, and sin by the commandment becomes exceedingly sinful. Those sins manifest themselves in lusts. First of all, look at James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That sin that is part of our natural old man brings forth whatever's in his heart, whether it's lust, fleshly lust, or whether it's a revengeful thought, or a thought of pride, or whatever the vice is that lust produces within us, then when our will is conformed to that, then it brings forth sin. But it's actually sin when it is conceived in the heart or in the mind, because it comes forth from inward sin. So that's not a very comforting thought in one respect. But in another respect, it is a very comforting thought, because the Scripture says, hey, this is what you are, and this is what you can expect from yourself. So when it happens to you, when these motions of sins occur in your life, don't be too terribly shocked, because you received that from your natural parents, and they received it from their natural parents, and it went all the way back to Adam. And it is that original sin that is in us. Another word that we didn't stop to look at yesterday or last week, well, we haven't got to that one yet, so we'll look at it when we get to it. Let's begin our reading then this morning in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. Now that's what Paul didn't know before, when he was a Pharisee, and when he thought he was such a fine, upstanding citizen of heaven, when he thought that everything was fine with him and the Lord, he had not seen that the law was spiritual and governs not only the outward actions, our outward actions, our deeds, but also our thoughts, our attitudes, our desires, the things that come forth from the heart. The law is spiritual in that it comes forth from the Spirit of God and governs to the spirits of men, and it can only be obeyed by those who are directed by the Spirit, and then not perfectly, because there's nothing perfect about us. But the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now we'll do well here if we'll stop for just a moment and sort some things out. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but he says, I am carnal, sold under sin. Look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So there is an inward man and there is an outward man. And these two men are contrary the one to the other. They actually hate one another. What the one loves, the other hates, and vice versa. And so that neither of them can ever do all that they would do, because of hindrance, because there's a continual battle and warfare between the two. You ever find that true in your own life? Things we know we should do, but we just don't do them, a lot of times because of pride, which is sinful. God hates a proud look. And for other reasons, we don't get done what we know that we should do. So what Paul's saying here, for I know that is, for the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Well, his natural self is carnal, sold under sin. But there's another self in him that we'll talk a little bit more about as we go along. For that which I do, I allow not. Now there's the other word. The word is ginosko. It means to know. And it means to know as to approve, or a knowledge with approbation. And it means to like, or to love, or to accept, or to approve whatever it is. So what he's saying here in verse 15, for that which I do not allow. I don't approve of it. I don't love it. As a matter of fact, I desperately hate it. Look at Galatians 5:17. Galatians, for the flesh, that is the old man, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. For that which I do, I allow not. Now, Paul is not here speaking about outward profane course of life. Because before his regeneration, he was a Pharisee, and as far as he knew, he was blameless according to his actions under the law. So he was a very religious man. He didn't walk in drunkenness and harlotry and all that kind of thing. But he was a law keeper. He kept the law as far as he understood and knew. But what he's talking about was what went on in here and what went on in here. What went on in his head and his heart. And he said, the things that I do, the things that come from me, I hate those things. I despise those things. I hate them with a bitter hatred. But they're still there. And they will be there as long as this creature lives. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Here's something we ought to know about ourselves. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father I get ahead of myself. I start quoting these when I'm trying to read them. So I'm going to start over. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him. Now, what did our Lord say about us? He said we're evil. If you being evil. Well, are we evil? Yes, we're evil. We have evil thoughts. We have evil intentions. We have evil desires. We're evil in what we could do if it were not for the results of the law. We're evil. And the thoughts of the imagination of the heart are only evil continually. So that part of us that is evil, the old man, is continually evil. Always evil and only evil. Now, before regeneration, that was the ruling principle in us. We were hindered in what we could do and would do because of the laws of the land and social mores and different things. But the fact is that we in ourselves, as we are born into this world, in our inherent person, are thoroughly, completely, always evil. Now, our Lord didn't qualify that. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Well, Paul's saying the same thing here. For that which I do, I allow not. The new man, that one that's born of the Spirit, he hates the things that the old man does. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Now, I don't mean he just hates it a little. He hates it a lot. And I don't know about you all, but sometimes I have thoughts that just crush me. I think, how in the world could I have such a thought? Such a vile, vagrantly thought. So I know what he means. Me personally, I know what he means when he says the things that I hate. That's what I do. Now look here in verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. Well, if I agree with the law that the things that I do is what I hate, even though those things are given strength by the law, because the law says thou shalt not, but my old self rises up and defies that, then I have to consent to the law that, yeah, the law is good. Nothing wrong with the law. But the problem's with me, with my inner person. If then I do which I would not, then I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's no more I that do it. Well, which I? It's not that which is born of the Spirit. That is Spirit. It's not that man that doeth it, but it is sin that dwelleth in me. Now, sin is that old, rotten, putrefying, corrupt carcass of the old man that we drag around with us, whose stink goes up continually, and he makes a mess everywhere he is, that we carry with us everywhere that we go, and we are influenced in him by everything that we do. But this is a very significant verse, because if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Well, look at Ephesians 3:18. Well, that don't say what I thought it said. I was trying to get to the inner man. Well, go to Ephesians 4:22 through 24. Put off that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there's the two warring factions, yeah. The old man and the new man. And look also at Colossians 3:9. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And look at Romans 6. Let me see what verse it is. Look at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now the point is, what I'm trying to make here is that we have an old man and we have a new man. And both of these principles live in us and are active in us, and therefore it leaves us in a miserable state sometimes and a lot of the time. All right, verse 18. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. look at Genesis, and we've referred to this already, but look at Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at 8:21, I think it is. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. So there are the two principles that live in us. Look at Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. And here again, we find the two conflicting principles. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And our flesh has nothing in regeneration. It's not a party in regeneration. Our flesh is not regenerated, and it won't be until resurrection morning. but it is the inward man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, look at Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if I do what I would not, then how does that agree with it's God that worketh in us to will and to do? Well, the flesh is, or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God doesn't work in us to do what he works in us to will. Because if he did, we'd always do as we willed. And we know that ain't true. So it has to be, and we know that it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do. So he works in us to will, but he doesn't work in us always to do what he works in us to will. Let's reread verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, there's a lot of good things that dwells in our body. And know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Word of God dwells in us. But in the old creature, the old man, that is our polluted, corrupt old self, that is filled with original sin, there's nothing good there. And it's distinguished from the Spirit, because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now you see the same thing in the disciples when the Lord went away to pray and they were left there. He said, watch and pray. Can't you watch 1 hour? But their eyes were heavy with sleep. So they had a will to watch, but the flesh was weak, and they couldn't do what they would. You mentioned that in bringing up the service. You made an allusion to that. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Look at Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. That's the good that Paul would do, and that's the good that we would do. But then other things get on our mind, like that revengeful thought. Somebody did us a little bit, that rubbed us the wrong way, and we're angry. And the fact is that our evil nature enjoys being angry and wants to stay angry and wants to get back at that person that hurt us. So there's a conflict there. And other things that the old man enjoys, that the new man hates. And the old man, he says, I like this. I'm going to stay here. I want to indulge in this for a while. But the new man says, no. This ain't where you need to be. So there's the conflict. There's the warfare. And there's what goes on in us. And that's the battle that we'll face as long as we're in this world, in this flesh. Verse 20. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now it seems from reading this to me reasonable to say that there's the new man in us that can do no wrong, cannot consent to doing wrong. But there's the old man in us that can do no right and cannot consent to doing right and will not consent to doing right. So, in 1 John 3:9, he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, is the flesh born of God? No, it ain't. But what is? The Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's born of flesh. Or that's born That's born of the Spirit, and it is Spirit. And that's the I that hates what evil self does. Look at 4 and 5. 1 John 4:4-5. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that is the Antichrist. You've overcome the Antichrist, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You are of God, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now turn over to 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? So there are the two men again. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now that is evil in us acting with the regularity and the strictness of a law. Yeah. It's always present with us. Always present with us. Now, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Look at Psalm 119, verse 77. Psalm 119, verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Now that's not the old man speaking. That's the new man, the inner man. That's that one that's born of God. And look at verse 111 while you're in Psalm 119. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Back to Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now look at Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that hath created him. Verse 23, but I see another law. Now he delights in the law of God after the inward man. But he says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Look at 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Oh, I'm going to get even with that guy. I'm going to fix him up good. Who's that come from? That doesn't come from the inward man. That comes from the old man, outward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Now he calls the law of his mind here the new principle of spiritual life that is in the renewed mind. Now, our mind was, you were sometimes darkness, and our minds were darkened, but now you're light in the Lord. And Romans 12:2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, my renewed mind. Now the old mind, look at Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So there's still some of that mind left in our mind. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin in my members. O wretched man that I am. Well, which one? The old man. O wretched man that I am. And in my whole self, take it as a whole, because of the evil that's present with me, we don't have any problem saying with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Look back at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now look back at Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now the body of sin is our polluted, corrupt, Adamic nature. And it's said to be crucified. Doesn't say it's dead. It says it's crucified. So it's still able to hurl out all kind of insults and evil thoughts. And even more so because of its pain in crucifixion and its hatred. But it's crucified. And it will be slain at our death and resurrection. So the body of sin, and that's something I've thought on for years. Just what is the body of sin? And it is the old, it is original sin. It is our corrupt and evil nature that's in us. Back to Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this body of sin? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Well, it's no more I that do it. It's not I myself that doeth. But with the flesh, with the old nature that is continually evil, with the body of sin, which is my inward corruptions, that's always in service to sin. But the new man, which is brought out of darkness in the light and is able to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him we serve the law of God. But as long as we're in this flesh and the evil principle is in us, that evil principle will serve sin.